We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs, and you're listening to the Refresh radio broadcast coming to you from the studios of WMIE 91.5 FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. And so we want to thank you for tuning in, and want to let you know that we appreciate you listening to us on a regular basis, and say thank you to those who've made phone calls and been praying for us and sent emails encouraging us. And we do thank you for those. We read them. We try and respond to each one as quickly as we can. And so if we happen to overlook yours, please forgive us. We do value each and every one of you and what you do for the program. Today, one of our sponsors is Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electrical, based in Rockledge, Florida. And their phone number is 632-9538. And lately, the weather has been just up and down, so extreme. I mean, you can go anywhere from needing the heater to the air conditioner, back to the heater, back to the air conditioner, back to the heater again. And so if your equipment happens to come up short or come up lacking, and you need someone to come out and help you with either your air conditioning, your heating, or your electrical needs, they do travel throughout the county. You can call Carla at 632-9538, and they will get you back up and running as quickly as possible. So we are looking forward to this coming weekend. I'll be preaching again this Sunday, and we're coming up on our missions banquet, our I Love Missions banquet. We pushed it back a 1 week this year compared to when we normally have it. We normally have it on Valentine's Day weekend. And what has happened this year is, with all of the situation that is going on in Ukraine, our speaker this year, as it was last year, Dr. Gary Kellner will be with us. And he has a wide open door of ministry in the Ukraine and helping the refugees and ministries in that area. And so we're going to be presenting this weekend the opportunity that we have to bless them with clothing and shoes and blankets and whatever else that we can come up with. And we're going to try and gather those up and get a truckload available to ship to the refugees in the Ukraine. I mean, if you think that it feels cool here, imagine what it is like in the Ukraine, where, I mean, it's brutal in a good year. And now if you take away your roof and your home, they're living in literally life-threatening conditions. And so Dr. Kellner is going to be with us on the 22nd. He's already sent me an email describing some of the needs that are going on in the Ukraine. And we're going to do our best to be able to meet those some of those needs. It's a broad coalition. You know, there are churches in Jamaica that are helping people in the Ukraine. That's the amazing thing about the body of Christ, is that when one member suffers, the entire body suffers. And so we want to reach out and do our part. Are we going to be able to do as much as, say, a church of 1,000 or 2,000 or 10,000 people? Probably not, but we might be able to do more than some will do. And but we're going to do our best. And so if the Lord lays it upon your heart to help those in the Ukraine, you can reach us at 454-4263, and we will try and keep you posted and let you know what is going on. But we are gathering shoes and clothes and blankets, jackets, coats, whatever we can come together with just to help bless the people there who are going through a real difficult season right now. I want to go ahead and get into the word today. Again, we're back on theme of give us this day our daily bread. And I want to take you to Genesis chapter 26. I want to take you to Genesis chapter 26 because there is a passage of Scripture. I really, really like this particular section of Scripture because no matter what you are going through, this story should be able to minister to you at some point in the narrative and relay to you that God is bigger than the problems that you are going through. And I want to declare that. I declare that in your life. I declare that in my life. I declare that over my body, over my wife's body. I declare that over our church. And today, I want you to know that we serve a great, big, wonderful God. And so I'm gonna try and read this to you today out of Genesis chapter 26 and the 12th verse. And it says, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he had become very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants, that would be Abraham, had dug in the days of Abraham his father, and they had filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, 'Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we.' Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there, and Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, 'The water is ours.' So he called the name of the well Esek. Because they quarreled with him, they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitnah. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, 'For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land.' Then he went up from there to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, 'I am the God of your father, Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake.' So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. Then Abimelech came to him from Gerar, where Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the commander of his army, and Isaac said to them, 'Why have you come to me, since you hate me and have sent me away from you?' But they said, 'We have certainly seen that the Lord is with you. So we said, let there now be an oath between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you that you will do us no harm, since we have not touched you and since we have done nothing to you but good and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord.' So he made them a feast and they ate and drank. Then they arose early in the morning and swore an oath with one another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came, told him about the well which they had dug, and said to him, 'We have found water.' So he called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of that city is Beersheba to this day." And that's where we're going to end reading during this day. So, I want you to know that God has not stopped taking care of his people. Now, our needs in modern times, to a large extent, are different than they were during the agrarian culture that Isaac found himself living in. But one of the things that is still a reality is that people need water to live. And when I read this story, one of the strangest things that I notice in the story is where people took a perfectly good well and they filled it up with dirt in a land that they were living in. You see, everybody needs water. It doesn't matter what country you live in. It doesn't matter what state you live in. Even right now here in America, because of water shortages that are going on, there are states in the eastern part of the United States, and there are water wars over how much water can be taken out of certain rivers by certain states. In the western United States, there are water wars out there, states taking other states to court, and it's because everybody needs water. If you do not have water, I want you to know that you more than likely only have a few days to live. You are not going to be able to survive very long without water. If you get sick, one of the things that my wife is constantly telling people, kids of ours, when they call and ask, hey, you know, this is what's going on, is she said, make sure that you keep yourself hydrated, because you can become very dehydrated if you get sick or ill. My wife is not a nurse, but she's a wonderful mother. And so she wants to make sure that everybody stays hydrated. And so Isaac was now the heir of the covenant. He was now in Abraham's place. And so he had gone to the Philistines. So I want to set this stage a little bit up for you, because your yesterday does not have to limit your today. Who you were yesterday does not have to be who you continue to be. Isaac had lied about Rebecca in the same way that Abraham had lied about Sarai when they went down to Egypt. It was more true for Abram than it was for Isaac, in that he was Sarai's half-brother. But Rebecca and Isaac were not anywhere near brother and sister. They were husband and wife. But Isaac had been ruled by fear, and so when he went to the Philistines' land, when he went to Ahimelech, the king, he said, "This is my sister." The only thing was, somebody spotted them behaving in a manner that brothers and sisters do not operate in, and said, "Wait a minute, why have you lied to us?" And so first of all, I want to start off talking to anybody. If you've gone into a situation, first of all, if you find yourself in a strange environment, I want you to know that this story has a truth for you, that God has got a gift for you that is going to be a blessing to you. I'm looking at the clock, and you know, I thought this would be a one-day broadcast, but I'm not sure if we're going to make that or not today. But if you are not native, by the way, I'm not a native Floridian. I am from a different part of the country. I'm from the Midwest. My wife is not from Florida. She is from Illinois. My son is not from Florida. He was born in a third different state of the country. And so we've been now in Florida for 25 plus years. And so we know what it is like to come into a place where you don't know anybody. But Isaac, when he found himself in that situation, he was ruled by fear and not by faith. He was afraid they were going to kill him and they were going to take his wife. And so if you today find yourself in this community, and maybe you're just getting here, maybe you don't know anyone. When we moved here, we knew the name of my boss. That was the only person that we knew. But we also knew that we were here because God had opened the door. And so we found a church. And once we got into the church, we discovered that there were connections with people in the church that were either in the same stage of life that we were in, had the same faith that we had, or were actually related to people that we knew or had gone to school with, people that were related to me. It was it was amazing the connections that we found when we got there. And, you know, there are some people who are always afraid of, well, what happens if I go someplace there? And in fact, right now, I sense that there may be somebody, and you know that there's a transition that is coming in your life, and you don't know what awaits you, that there's getting ready to be a transition to a new geographic region. And I'll tell you this, and my philosophy is that it is a great adventure, that whenever God is leading you to a place, first of all, I do want to qualify it and say, make sure that it's God leading you, that it's not your emotions, that it's not just some whim that you're on, some emotional need that you have, or some social reason that you are leaving. Now, you know, we have a military presence here in Brevard County, and if the military comes to you and says, you know, you signed your name on a contract and now we are sending you where we need you to be, then you say, yes, sir, and you are off, and away you go. And I want you to know that that doesn't have to be something you fear. It can be something that you actually embrace and look forward to, knowing that God is always going to lead his people in triumphal procession. So don't let fear paralyze you. God has not given you a spirit of fear. He's not given me a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. One of the things that I remember the Lord speaking to me several years ago, I was preparing to do a funeral, and I was reminded of a time in our life. We had some very dear friends. They were here, and they moved to a faraway state, probably a three-day drive from here. And when they moved out there, they were the ones that left other people behind. And they had no problems because they knew where they were going, that God was going to lead them on a great adventure. But there were some of us who were left behind, and there was a hole in our relationship circle that was suddenly there that hadn't been there before. And I was actually preparing for a funeral, and God said, that's the way when a loved one in Christ is called into my presence. For them, it is a great adventure. For them, it is the beginning of going from glory to glory, of understanding things that they've never understood before, of being delivered from sickness and pain and death. But for those of us who are left behind, there is a sorrow because we don't get to have the same level of relationship with them that we once had. And so if that is you today, if you are dealing with the loss of a loved one, or maybe it's a family member that moved away, I just want to ask, here in the middle of the broadcast, I'm going to just go ahead and pray for you here and right now, that the Holy Spirit will comfort you during this time, and that he will fill that hole with himself. He will give you understanding. He will give you comfort, and he will enable you to minister to people who will inevitably find themselves in that same position. Father, I just pray right now for those who are listening to this broadcast, God, that if there's anybody who's experiencing that sense of loss in their life, Lord, that right now you would come and you would fill that hole with yourself. Lord, for loved ones who may have moved away or even passed away, God, I pray that you would bring comfort as only you can, that the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, God, the Comforter, would come and bring supernatural comfort, not superficial, but sufficient to heal the hurting heart, to fill the vacancy. God, I pray that you would draw people closer to you right now. And Lord, that they would plunge into an even greater dimension of faith than they've ever gone before. God, be closer to them now than they've ever been before. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So not only did Isaac go on this journey, and he starts off with deception, but he also, or he, not only did he start off with fear, but he dealt with the fear issue by developing an integrity issue. He lied. We talked about that in just a few minutes ago. And I want you to know that lying is unbecoming of the people of God. If you find yourself in a situation where you are not known for telling the truth, then you need to ask the Holy Spirit to make a character change inside of you. You know, it's amazing. I am a long way removed from seventh grade, but I still to this day remember a lie that I told in the seventh grade. You say, well, how can you remember all of that sort of stuff? Well, it was a very traumatic moment. And I remember I said, if I tell this lie, I'm going to get out of this situation. It wasn't a parental situation. It was more of a seventh grader versus a ninth grader issue. And I remember that. The reason that it can be so easy to remember when you have fallen short in the area of telling the truth. By the way, I've repented of that, and I no longer make that a practice. I like to tell the truth. Is because the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He's the father of lies. The Bible describes it as being his native tongue. And when we come and we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins, Jesus does, and then he forgets them. But the devil is constantly there reminding us. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. And whenever I think about something like that, there may be people who are listening today and you're having a hard time forgiving yourself for something that you did a long time ago. I remember the story, but I have forgiven myself because Jesus forgave me. When I confessed it and asked him to forgive me and empower me to be a messenger of the truth, from that point on, he has done just that. And so if you are living under self-condemnation, if the accuser of the brethren has so persuaded you that there is no hope for you to be forgiven, I want you to know that sin from yesterday does not have to rule and reign over your today. God wants to give you a new day. He wants to give you a clean heart. He wants to give you a spirit of truth. He wants his word to dwell in you. And so today, please do not be condemning yourself over something that happened years and years and years ago. Instead, ask God to change your heart, fortify you in that arena, in the area of communications, so that you deal with people with integrity, so that your yes means yes and your no means no. What I find interesting about that situation is they find out about the lie that Isaac has told. They come and they said, why did you lie to us? And all of that gets explained. And then there is a parting of the way. And yet, as we get towards the end of the chapter, Abimelech and his entourage come to Isaac again, and they said, why have you come to me? Isaac says, why have you come to me since you hate me and have sent me away from you? And they said, we are here to make a covenant with you. Now, I want you to understand that you cannot make a covenant with people who are still living in deception. But if there was a bump in the road, if things did not get off to the right start, allow God to give you a new beginning. You know, that's one of the things that it describes Christians as in the New Testament. He says, you are new creations. You are new creatures. I'm just not a new and improved Bob. I'm not the same old Bob, just with a different package around me. Instead, he has made me into a new child of God. Do I still look the same as I did before? Yes, but I am completely new on the inside. And what God can do with those new beginnings is he can cause you to come to that place where you no longer feel so insecure in your relationship. That was Isaac's problem. Remember, he was afraid. He was insecure of how Ahimelech and the rest of the Philistines were going to treat him. And so he lied, thinking he could get by with it. Let me just say this. Eventually, your lie is going to be discovered. You see, one of the reasons that I don't lie is because I believe that when I lie, there is a big billboard over my head. It's blinking in neon lights, and it's got an arrow pointing straight down to my head, and it says, lying, 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 and I'm just not a good liar. You know why? Because it is so foreign. It's foreign to God's nature, and if God's living inside of me, it should be foreign to my nature. And so what happened here is Isaac moved on, the Philistines moved on, and yet there came another a time in their life where they said, you know what, let's make a covenant with one another. Let's make a covenant that you will not do us harm and that we will not do you any harm. You know, that's a great way to have a new beginning. You know, we're just a couple of days away here from Valentine's Day. And men, can I talk to you? How about that reminding ourselves that the marriage that we are part of was not a ceremony, it's a covenant. And that we should have the same as we should have with our wife, and wives with your husband. You need to have this mind that we're not here to do harm. We are here to walk in truth, to walk in security, and to walk in a perspective that said, you know what? We're here. We're in this covenant to be a blessing to one another, not to be a threat to one another. And so if your marriage has hit a little bit of a tumultuous season, I want to close this broadcast today by asking God to give you a new beginning, where husbands and wives are not lying to one another, that they're not insecure with one another, that instead there's a new day that dawns where you walk and say, look, I'm not going to hurt you anymore. Please forgive me if I hurt you in the past, but I'm not going to hurt you anymore. God, I pray that there would be a new day in our homes right now in Jesus' name. Lord, that instead of our homes being a battlefield, Lord, may our homes be a holy place filled with the love of God. I pray, God, that husbands and wives would speak truth to one another, that there would not be any fear in our homes, but Lord, instead it would be a place of covenant of love and of blessing, a place where we do no harm. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.